MacCast, Wednesday, March 9th, 2005. Hey Mac Geeks, it's time for another MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, it might be what you call a slow news day today. We just got a couple items to go over, got some great listener feedback and questions, and then we'll play some new music and get out of here. I am getting great feedback on the show, and I really appreciate everybody chiming in and sending me emails and such. Please continue to do so. All right, there is a new OS X emulator that's running on PC platform. It's called Cherry OS. It's a G4 emulator, and it just launched. It's available for $49.95. There's a free trial. It lets you launch the application up to 15 times. It runs on Windows XP Home or Windows XP Pro. You can check it out. There's a link from the show notes. And a lot of people are saying it's actually a ripoff or stolen code from the open source Pear PC project, and that the manufacturers of Cherry OS are trying to cash in on the open source project over at pearpc.com. I'm not going to make any speculation on that. I'm not going to really worry about it too much. I'm just giving you guys the information. If you're on a PC and you want to try out OS X, see what it's all about, you might want to check out at least the demo version of Cherry OS. It looks like the one thing it's going to add over the open source project is the fact that it'll have a simple installer. You'll be able to install it, try it out without a lot of muss or fuss. So, you know, I haven't taken a look at it. I probably will download the trial and test it out. I'll let you guys know my opinions. I had been looking at the Pear PC project for a long time, but I'm a little intimidated by the install instructions over on the open source project. It looks a little more difficult, so I'm hoping the Cherry OS has a nice little installer and makes it easy for me. But I'll give you my opinions when I try it out. I do know there are some listeners out there that have dabbled with Pear PC and say it's really great. You know, obviously the performance is not like a native OS X machine and a native Apple box, but you are able to run OS X on a PC platform in an emulation mode. So I'll check it out and we'll maybe get a little mini review done in a later MacCast. The show is going to be really interesting tonight because all of the news pretty much focuses on they're sort of Mac topics, but nothing directly related to Macintosh. Next little story is about the creator of Linux, Linus Torvalds. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's actually a Mac user, but obviously not an OS X user. He uses a dual 2 GHz PowerMac G5 running Linux as his main desktop workstation. So just a little interesting tidbit. If you're a Linux user or considering using Linux, you know, take a look at Mac hardware. There's some great Linux distributions available for Macintosh these days and well worth checking out. So you can get all the cool hardware and you can run Linux if you want to. Personally, I think OS X's Unix distribution is just superb. I mean, you get all the power of Unix, free BSD kernel, and a great GUI on top of that with OS X and Aqua. So I think Mac OS X gives you the best of both worlds, but if you're a diehard Linux user, don't rule out Macintosh hardware. Even the creator of Linux is using it, so check it out. There is more Linux news. If you are interested in just dabbling in Linux, we've talked about Yellow Dog Linux and the solutions from TerraSoft. TerraSoft, if you remember, is the company that offers Apple hardware with Yellow Dog Linux pre-installed on it. It's TerraSoftSolutions.com is their website. Well, they're now selling iPods and FireWire drives that are bootable into Yellow Dog Linux with Yellow Dog's Linux pre-installed on them. So you can have sort of a portable version of Yellow Dog Linux with all of your home folder information and applications contained on a nice small package like an iPod or a portable FireWire drive. Take it with you. You know, plug it into any PowerPC machine, a G4 or G5, and boot right into Linux and leave the original operating system that's on the box intact. So great way to probably check out Linux if you're interested in seeing what that's all about without having to uninstall your Macintosh operating system and have Linux in a nice portable format. So you might want to check that out. There is a link from the show notes. All right, lastly in the news tonight, Sony has announced 9 new Flash players. They're calling them Walkman Flash MP3 players, and they're saying they're going to try and take on the iPod Shuffle market. They do have some improved features. The pricing is very competitive. The Sony devices have a 50-hour battery life, 50-hour rechargeable battery, as opposed to the 12-hour battery that's on the iPod Shuffle. And the Sony devices have a 3-line LCD screen. They come, I don't have all the details on the 9 models, but the comparable models to the iPod Shuffle are a 512 megabyte model for $130 US and a 1 gigabyte model for $180 US. All of the these two players actually have the option to have FM tuners for $20 US more. And apparently, this announcement did make a small dent in Apple's stock price, about 5% drop, when Sony announced these new MP3 players that they're going to be selling. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. The iPod Shuffle, I have one. I bought one for my wife, and it is an awesome device. It's just seamless, flawless, does what it's supposed to do. So, you know, Apple still has that up on Sony. I've read some other reports that a lot of people don't think this Sony or Napster competitors are really going to make a dent in Apple's share on the MP3 player market, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, I have been getting really great feedback from listeners, and we're getting a lot of great questions in these days. And I had an interesting little question on the new Mac Feedback website. That's mcfeedback.blogspot.com. That's a new website where you guys can leave audio comments on a audio blogger account that will automatically get posted to the website for anyone to listen to. So your feedback is immediately available for anybody who listens to the MacCast and visits the mcfeedback.blogspot.com site to listen to. So check that out if you want to. There's instructions on the right on how to call the phone number and get your voicemail recorded so that everybody can hear it. But I got feedback over there from Brett, and he had a question about the MacCast.com website as well as some comments about the Podcast Alley voting.
Hi, Adam. This is Brett. I really enjoy the MacCast. I think it's a really nice podcast. And I have a question for you. There is a little monitor on your website that says how many iGeeks there are. Is that how many listeners you have? And if it is that, like, accurate? Because I'm interested in starting my podcast and monitoring how many listeners there are, and was just wondering what a good tool to monitor that is. And that's about it. Thanks for the great shows.
Okay, sorry. I was confusing Brett's question with the next question I'm going to play from Con. Brett only had a question about the iGeeks monitor on MacCast.com. If you've been to the MacCast.com website, you'll notice up on the upper right there's a little counter, and it says the number of iGeeks that are listening to the show. I think currently it's around 1,600, and that actually is the number of people that are subscribed to the MacCast using an iPod or client, a podcatching client. And that's a feature of FeedBurner, which is what I use to send out my feed, and it's a statistic they gather for me. It does not count people who directly download the MacCast, say, from the MacCast.com website. It is only the people that are actually subscribed via a client like iPodder or iPodder X or Doppler on the PC. So it keeps track on a daily basis. It's pretty accurate. So every day at midnight, it checks how many people actually have the subscription still in their client and are actively subscribed to the MacCast. So that shows you guys, if you're at all curious how many people are listening at any given time, you can check out MacCast.com to see that. And it's a great service from FeedBurner, so if you're doing your own podcast, you might want to check that out at FeedBurner.com. So now we'll have the couple of questions from Con. Con was wondering about PodcastAlley.com voting and its legitimacy. And then he had a quick question about burning DVDs from his Macintosh but using the DVD burner on his PC, and I wasn't sure how to answer it.
Hi, Adam. This is Con from Virginia. I have two questions for you. My first question is about the Podcast Alley. When I vote in the Podcast Alley, they collect my IP address so I cannot vote in 1 month. But if I change my IP address, I was able to vote like 15 or 20 times. So I'm using a proxy server. My proxy server changes my IP address every 5 seconds. So do you think it is fair? Like how we can know that top 10 podcasts, they are not using this method to be in the top 10 list? And my second question is about, I just bought a 12-inch PowerBook. I don't have any DVD burner in the PowerBook. How can I burn DVDs using my Windows XP PC DVD burner from a wireless network? Thank you very much for your podcast, and I love your show. Keep up the good work.
So, Khan, first of all, on the podcastalley.com thing, there is no way we can be really certain that people aren't trying to circumvent the protections they have in place over there to prevent multiple voting. Right now, as Khan mentioned, the voting is limited to once per month. It used to be once per day. They just recently changed it. Chris over there has done a really good job at trying to make sure that people only vote once. And if people are trying to circumvent it, there's really nothing they can do. All I ask is if you are going over there to vote for the MacCast, please just play by the rules. Vote once a month. That's all you need to do. I'd appreciate it. And we don't want to throw off the statistics over there. So, you know, please just play by the rules, even if you have worked out a method for multiple voting, which I appreciate that you want to vote that much. But let's play within the boundaries. On the burning on your PC DVD burner, discs that have maybe been generated or put together on your Mac. I'm assuming a feature of Windows is you can actually burn from a DVD burner or a CD burner over the network. And I'm not sure if you can do that between a Mac and a PC. If anybody does know of a method for doing that, please send an audio comment or an email to maccast@gmail.com. The only other thing I think you could possibly do is burn a disk image or create a disk image, so a file on the Mac that you could then take over and use on your PC burner to burn the actual disk. And it would probably have to be an ISO 9660 image, so a standardized image file. And I'm not sure if you can do that natively in OS X or in any of the iApps, but you should be able to do that using Toast, I believe. So anyway, if anybody has a solution for creating a file on your Mac and then taking it over to a DVD burner on another machine, specifically a PC, please send me an email or audio comment and let me know the answer, and I'll pass that along to Khan, and I'm sure he'll appreciate it. All right, next I got a little recommendation from a listener, Kevin, and he is sent me a comment about bookmarkable AAC files, Apple Audio Codec files. And for those of you who may not be familiar, Apple has its own version. It's actually the files you download from the iTunes Music Store are AAC files, but in a protected format. But there's also an unprotected version, and it has a feature called bookmarking, which basically means that if you have an MP3 player or an iPod that supports AAC. Well, I guess it'd have to be an iPod because currently only iPods support the AAC format. But okay, so on your iPod, if you have a file that is in a bookmarkable AAC format, an audio file, what it means is when you listen to that file, at any point when you stop that file, it will remember that location no matter what happens in between the next time you come back to listen to that file. So it was mainly designed for audiobooks. So say you're listening to an audiobook, you get a third of the way and you stop it, you decide to go listen to some other music on your MP3, on your iPod, you know, maybe listen to some music, do some other things on your iPod. When you come back to that audiobook and hit play, it will actually pick up from that exact spot where you had stopped, a lot like your DVD player does now. And so for podcasting, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, this is a really nice feature. The problem is, though, that most podcasters, like me, distribute their files in MP3 format, and that's just so we can have the most compatibility with the most players. Since AAC is only supported on iPod, it's not really conducive to distributing when you're trying to distribute to a wide market, and MP3 is playable on a number of devices. But what Kevin found was he found a Apple script that will actually convert any file in iTunes over to a bookmarkable AAC format. And it's over at Doug's Scripts for iTunes. There's a link from the show notes. And he offers that along with a bunch of other scripts for iTunes, Apple scripts for iTunes. So just something you guys might want to check out. Also, I will say that I use iPodder X as my podcatching client, and iPodder X has a built-in feature to, after it downloads the podcast, it will automatically convert your file to a bookmarkable AAC format if you want, and then send that over to iTunes. So, and I think it even can delete the original MP3 file so you don't have duplicate files on your system. So that might be a feature you want to check out. I'm actually considering, now that Kevin's mentioned this, switching over mine. Right now I just pull everything down in MP3 and have it go right into iTunes. But I'm thinking that the bookmarkable AAC format is something that I want to do, because as I'm listening to more podcasts now, I find that I'm stopping some, maybe going to another podcast, listening halfway through to someone else, and then I want to come back, say, to the Daily Source Code and pick up right where I left off. And I've been having to remember, oh, I was 15 minutes into it when I stopped, and I'm trying to, you know, use the scroll wheel to fast forward 15 minutes into the show. If I had them in bookmarkable AAC format, it would just pick right up where I stopped it. So you might want to check that out if you're listening to a lot of podcasts, and there's obviously a couple methods for getting your files converted. So next I got a question about printing from Michael. And Michael is a PC user who's recently moved over to OS X, to the Macintosh. And he was asking about a feature, and I guess maybe this is available on the PC. I've never really checked into it. But apparently there's a way on the PC where you can select a block of text, I'm assuming within any application, and then choose to just print out that selected text. And he was wondering if there was a native way or a free way in OS X to get that feature. I did some poking around, and the only thing I could find was a piece of software called Print Magic from Mac Ease, and it was a $24.95 shareware, and it adds this feature to OS X where you can select text in any program and choose just to print out the selected text. If anybody else knows another way to do that in OS X, if they could send a email with an audio comment or just a text email to maccast@gmail.com, and we'll get maybe another answer for Michael. But if anybody knows of another way, let us know. All right. Next, I wanted to mention, I've been getting a lot of email from a listener who goes by the handle Nukes, and he actually has a really great blog, and I had meant to mention this before. It's called the MacDad blog, and he basically documents his experiences in converting to the Macintosh and trying to get his friends and neighbors to also convert. So he posts on there some really great stories about the whole process that he's gone through. And so I just thought that might be of interest to people. It's macdad.blogspot.com is the website. There's a link from the show notes. Just a very interesting read, and I thought I'd share since Nukes had been sending me some great feedback and answers to a lot of the questions that we've been getting on the MacCast. Finally, I got a question from Shane, who is also recently converted from the PC, and he is wondering about backing up on OS X.
Hi, Adam. This is Shane in Portland. Mate, firstly, I want to say thanks very much for the show. I think you do a bloody fantastic job. Mate, I have a question regarding backing up my data. I switched from PC about 2 years ago, and I haven't found an application that allows me to sync my PowerBook with an external hard drive. And as a result, I'm backing up 10, 15 gig at a time, so I tend to do it less frequently than I think I should. And I'm just wondering if you or any of your listeners know of either freeware or shareware, a fairly cheap application that will actually compare the directories of the drives and only sync that material which is new on my PowerBook. Anyway, mate, I look forward to hearing your response, and again, thanks for the show.
All right, Shane, you and me both. I have the same problem of not backing up my system probably as often as I should. Okay, so I happen to know of a number of ways for backing up data on Mac OS X. I'm sure one of them will actually fit your needs. I don't know about all the specific features on all of these, so you're going to have to maybe try a couple different ones of them out and find the one that fits your needs. But let me just run down what I know. All right. If you have a .Mac account, and I can't say enough about Apple's .Mac service. If you have OS X and if you have a Macintosh, especially if you use iLife a lot, or do you just want to keep things synced up between multiple machines, definitely invest the $99 a year and get yourself a .Mac account. I think you'll be really happy for it, especially, you know, if you do want to do things like share photos. But as part of your .Mac account, you get a piece of free software from Apple called Backup 2. And with that, you can do backups. You can back up to a hard drive or any removable media. You can put it on a schedule. Apple has some preset options for which things that you might want to back up. For example, your home folder, or maybe you just want to back up your iTunes library, and you can create custom backup schemes and things like that. So that's a really nice option if you're a .Mac user, because it's free with your .Mac account. Another great utility that kind of does what you were asking about in terms of just backing up changed files is a product from LaCie, the company that makes and manufactures a lot of great hard drive products and removable drive products for the Macintosh. But they have in their software area, a free backup utility called Silver Keeper. And it's a pretty basic utility. I've used it before to keep certain directories in sync in terms of a backup. So you might want to check that out. Another commercial product that I know a lot of people use, I really don't have a lot of familiarity with, is Dance Retrospect Desktop. It's a commercial application, like I mentioned, and it runs $99 US, but they've been in the backup business for a really long time, and it's just a full-fledged backup software. So I'm sure it does incremental, I'm sure it does, you know, all kinds of schedulers, and you can pry, have it go this way and that, but that's another option. The final option, and this is the one I like the most, and I know the most people use, it's another free one. It's called Carbon Copy Cloner, and it's from Bombitch Software. And it will actually create a full imaged backup, bootable backup of your entire hard drive if you want. But it also offers synchronization features and scheduling features. Again, I haven't really used it much myself, other than when I wanted to upgrade a hard drive. I used it to mirror or copy all the data from my old hard drive to my new larger hard drive, and then I was able to just install that in my system and boot right up from it, and it was just like I had the original hard drive in there, but now with extra space. So really great product. It's been around for a while. I know a lot of people that use it and swear by it. So you might want to start with Carbon Copy Cloner, see if that meets your needs, and then if not, maybe look at more of a commercial product like the Dance Retrospect. But a lot of options. I'm sure the listeners probably have other ones that they would recommend. If anybody does, send an audio comment or an email and let us know about it. And we'll pass that along to Shane. Okay, that's going to be the show for tonight. As I mentioned earlier, please check out the new way for leaving audio feedback. It's mcfeedback.blogspot.com. It's a new blog. It's an audio blog. You can call a number. The instructions are on the mcfeedback.blogspot.com site. Full instructions. They're over there on the right. It's a little three-step process. You have to call a number, and then you have to enter a primary phone number, which is the original MacCast call-in line, 206-222-2788, and then enter a PIN number. And the PIN number is 1984, the year the Macintosh came out, so that should be easy for everyone to remember. Once you do that, you will be prompted. You just follow the prompts to leave an audio comment. When you are finished, then it automatically posts to the blog, and everybody can come listen to it. So it's a great way to leave feedback. I'll monitor that site and pick up comments from there, and anybody can then listen to the comments and hear what's going on and hear what people have to say about the MacCast. But check that out. It's a new feature. We're going to see how it goes. If you guys really like it or if it gets utilized, we'll keep it. Otherwise, maybe we'll just go back to the original call-in number. Keep the emails coming. Visit the website, macast.com, for the full show notes and links to everything that I talked about on the show. I'm going to leave you tonight with new music again from GarageBand. By the way, I'm switching over. I've been using a lot more GarageBand tracks because just simply because I haven't been getting tracks from listeners. So if there are listeners out there who are in a band or who are an artist and you have complete rights to give me authorization to play your stuff, I would love to play music from MatCast listeners on the show and help promote your bands. We'll link to the website. If you have upcoming shows, I'm happy to plug any upcoming shows in your area. Just send me the information. Send me an MP3 file of your favorite track off your new CD, and we will try and get the word out to everyone. But tonight I've got another track from GarageBand, which is another great site, actually, for finding new music. If you haven't checked it out, check out GarageBand.com. A lot of new artists over there, a lot of independent artists. If you're looking for new music that's, you know, off the mainstream. Anyway, this track is called Sunrise. It's from Alex McLeod. He's a UK artist. There's a link to his page on GarageBand in the show notes, as well as a link to his official website. So I hope you enjoy it. And that's the show for tonight, and I will see you all next time. Yeah.